This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thanks, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, January 17, 2022, Martin Luther King Day around the United States. We thank you for joining us, albeit a bit late, as we've mentioned on social media. This is a radio-only vehicle today because the Knicks are on Yes. So we just saw the Knicks get embarrassed at the Garden. I mean, the Knicks should be very happy. Now we have a lot of football to talk about because that was as bad as a performance as you could have. It's like they never saw a zone before. It was awful, just awful. And Miles Bridges just owned them. 38 points, career high. It was amazing, but we'll save that for another day as we talk about football. So Super Wild Card Weekend has one game remaining. That's tonight, Monday Night Football, the Rams against the Cardinals. But the other five games... boy, there's a lot to talk about. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3 hours and 20 minutes. And the other 20 hours and 40 minutes, that's your responsibility. See how I did that on the run?
It's pretty amazing.
You're a real talent.
I've really had a good weekend, let's be honest.
You have.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Got my three-point pick, got my two-point pick. Peter went 0 for 3, is now 9 points behind. He's right now on the precipice of falling out of it. He's not out of it yet, but he's on the precipice.
You do the math.
I didn't play that. That was Anthony.
And I believe if I do the math correctly, you know I should get double-checked when I'm doing math.
Triple.
Yeah, that's never good.
Is I think we've got 14 available points the rest of the way, right? We got 6 points in play divisional week.
5 points after that.
There'll be four games, and we pick three of them. Then there'll be 5 available points for championship week, and then there'll be the 3 available points for the Super Bowl. So there's 14 available points, and he's 9 back. So
and Don, how many are you back from Michael?
If I can hit today, three and a half.
Right, and if you don't hit, it's 4.5.
So 4.5. And so you're 4.5 up on me
as
well. So you're still very much in play for me. That's the key. I mean, everyone knows the key is just getting out of last place.
Right.
Even more so than winning is not losing. And you would think that at some point the odds would have to start favoring me that I can't just lose every game. But this week, I have never in my life watched games – more confident that whatever outcome I wanted, the opposite was going to happen.
It's almost like the McGovern campaign.
It felt like that. It was like the McGovern campaign of football for me and my family yesterday. So you know, obviously the weekend's already been bad, but I go, let me just root for Don to lose at least, so I could only be at 2.5 back from you, Don, and. Early in that game, T.J. Watt picks up a fumble, runs it in. Pittsburgh's up 7.
That means
they're getting 19.5 points all of a sudden. And I blinked. I had something in my eye, and I was messing with my eye. And when I opened my eye again, they were down by 28 points. And it couldn't have been more over. There was not a moment of me watching football this weekend when what I wanted to happen was happening. Well, The Eagles were awful from the set. I mean, the Patriots, Bill. I should honestly be kicked out of the competition and just grow my hair out right now for picking the Patriots.
Once again, you listen to Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Tannenbaum jinx.
Yeah, he's
Tannenbaum jinx.
Yeah, he's this year's version of
RJ Bell.
RJ Bell. Although he's not being paid and he's not there to give us picks, but still. It's a tough – that last question Michael asks him, I wouldn't be surprised if he asked, please stop that. He's fine until we get to the last, 30 seconds of the interview. Then Michael asks him, who do you like, and then it's a disaster.
And then he just throws out something that's crazy town because, obviously, the Bills knew something that we didn't know they knew. They played a perfect game, guys. The best offensive game in the history of the NFL playoffs.
Never punted. was they were successful on every third down except for the last one, which was a kneel down. Didn't even have a field goal. It was seven touchdowns.
No, it was incredible.
It was five touchdowns. It was amazing.
We should hear. I hope we hear from Bills fans today because I want to know what it's like to feel that kind of joy, like to not only play a perfect game, but to do it after the years of suffering at the hands of Bill Belichick, and to mortify him like that. I mean, it's hard to get up from that, guys.
It reminded me. I don't know if you guys remember. The year escapes me, but it was the last game Jimmy Johnson ever coached when he was in Miami. Remember? And they lost to Jacksonville like 60-10. Like, it was like that level where this is a great coach going to the Hall of Fame. And I'm not suggesting this is his last game, but, you know, would you ever think that that would be on his ledger? That Bill Belichick would coach a game in which the opposition went until the kneel down without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, they looked completely overmatched, and this is a team that they had beaten. But, you know, sometimes, you know, after the fact, we look at numbers that maybe we should have looked at. You know, the four games after that game where they threw just three passes, they lost three of them. The only game they won was against Jacksonville, and the Bills beat them up after that game as well. So they did not play well after that cold weather game, and Mac Jones just threw three passes. And although this was not on Mac Jones, it was certainly not on Mac Jones. It was on the defense. The defense was like a sieve. But I watch Mac Jones. I see a nice quarterback. I don't see a quarterback that's taking him to the Super Bowl. I just don't. I might be wrong. He was the most successful rookie quarterback this year. But he's nice. I mean, he's not dynamic. I think you need dynamic. You look at great quarterbacks. They're dynamic. He's not dynamic.
Listen, you know, Bill Belichick the entire year was doing it with mirrors. And then eventually it's going to come back to bite you when you take on a team that's as good as Buffalo is in that type of an atmosphere. So he made it work for him with a rookie quarterback. But eventually you got to show what talent you have, and there's just not a lot there, at least compared to Buffalo. And the only game that was really in doubt from our picks, guys, was the Raiders and the Bengals. Came down to the last play.
What a game.
They score a touchdown there, and, you know, they may not win the game, but at least, you know, Vegas covers, and it would have been a different story. But, yeah, tremendous game, how they fought back. That was probably, right, with the exception of the controversy at the end of the Dallas game, which we'll talk a lot about today, that was probably the best game on the ledger.
Well, let's talk about the Cowboy game because that's on everybody's mind. And, you know, there's a lot of Cowboy fans out there, but there's a lot of people that hate the Cowboys as well. And I got to tell you, they did not cover themselves in glory. Forget about how they played, but the way they reacted afterward. You had 14 penalties. How are you going to win a game with 14 penalties? And you're going to blame the officials? Really going to blame the officials when the rule is the guy has to place the ball down? He couldn't even get to the ball. Why even run that play there? And they keep saying, well, my analytics team told me. Stop it.
Oh.
Everything has to go perfectly in order for you to run that play. Why would you risk that?
But I don't know what's the end game.
The end game is that you don't have a 50-yard Hail Mary that you can actually run a real play from 30 yards.
But the analytics tell you you've got as much of a chance to score a touchdown 40 yards out as you do 20. Like, so if you're going to talk about analytics, and I got two cracks at 40 rather than one crack at 20. So there's no analytics that tells you it's the right thing. So even if everything went perfectly and there's a second left on the clock, it's still the wrong thing to do. You cut your opportunities in half. It makes zero sense. And I think all the complaining about the officiating and the analytics are all just an excuse, a cover for whoever decided to run that play. Whether McCarthy came up with the idea, whether it was something that Dak freelanced, somebody is covering for what was the worst play call in the last 25 years. Honestly, you can't do that.
And you also wonder if there's something in the water in Dallas, the way Jerry runs that organization, because they're not disciplined. I mean, the talent is there. They have an abundance of talent offensively. I've never been sold on Dak. I'm sorry. I think he's an okay quarterback, and he makes $40 million a year, but do I look at him as an elite quarterback? No, I don't.
Well,
he can have an elite game every now and then. He's not consistent, and a lot of it fell on him. He did not have a great game.
Well, and let's face it. They got the ball back with a chance to go and win the game, and he failed.
Yeah.
But before any of this nonsense at the end, they already had the ball back and had their drive and came up short.
That's what's so amazing. When you're watching that game, guys, it was perfect for Dallas to win the game. Like, everything, like, started to break their way. They were fighting through their own mistakes. The Gregory defensive holding penalty was egregious. I mean, how do you commit a defensive holding penalty when all the 49ers do is trying to force you into calling timeouts and you give them a fresh set of downs? They survived that. They survived the measurement, which was the right call. They got it right. It looks like the game's probably over. They measure, and he doesn't get it. Then they survived them getting the fourth down and not having to punt the ball back, and then there's a false start, and they get the ball back. They get 40 yards in 18 seconds because the 49ers don't know what they're doing. They're not covering the sidelines. Like, everything broke. I'm watching this going, I can't believe the Cowboys are going to win this game. And they still ended up blowing it.
Yeah, I've never been a Mike McCarthy fan, and I do blame coaches when a team's not disciplined. 14 penalties?
Tied
a record. Tied a record for postseason. It's disgraceful. That was a winnable game for them. And on the flip side, the 49ers should have blown them out.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, got short arms and threw a pick that you shouldn't throw. And some of the calls were a little bit strange, I thought. I think they got very, very conservative. They could have blown them out of AT&T Stadium. But the Cowboys lose, and now there's not a team from the NFC East remaining in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's so frustrating when you watch, like, you see, you're trying to look for quarterbacks, and you're trying to look for coaches. And we see the interview process. Oh, you know, this guy's going to – we're going to gnaw the opposition's knees off. You know, you punch one of our guys, we're going to punch two of you guys. How about just knowing how to coach in-game? How about that? How about hiring coaches based on that, all right? Because there's so many things that happen during a course of a game that the wrong call, the wrong decision, the moronic play costs you. You have the talent. You have them ready to play. But then sometimes these coaches just don't know what they're doing. We saw it in week 7. We saw it in week 18 with the LA Chargers. Make good calls, okay? Forget about pregame speeches and postgame speeches and talking to the media and all that. That's all great, and I'm sure that's important in its own way. But how about coming up with coaches who know what they're doing during the course of the game? That's why Bill Belichick is so good, because he's so much smarter than everybody else. Because a lot of these guys, when they get into these situations, Peter, they make the wrong call because they just don't know what they're doing.
And then there are well-coached teams that just don't have the talent, like the Steelers. The Steelers got blown out yesterday. They had no business being on the field then. Again, the NFL expanding their playoffs, it's not a good look because the two number seven teams were awful. The Eagles and the Steelers didn't belong in the playoffs. They didn't belong on the field.
I sat there, of course. You know, you can't help but think about your own team when you're watching other teams from your division play. And I just kept getting frustrated thinking, if Washington had a shred of a quarterback, we absolutely should have beaten out the Eagles for that playoff spot, because they wouldn't have made a fool of themselves against the Bucs. The Eagles were a disgrace. I can't believe I thought highly of them. I mean, I understand why I did. The running game over the second half of the season was really impressive. But they were completely outmatched. And I'm thinking, going, Washington beat Tampa Bay this year and almost beat them in the playoffs last year. The Eagles are not good. And the fact that the Cowboys are like the pride of the NFC East, and you see they're a team that just shoots themselves in the foot for an entire game.
You analyze, we'll talk to Steve Young later, and we could talk to, you know, Dan Orlovsky on Wednesday. You rate the Cowboys' talent, it's as good as anybody in the league. Say what you want about Dak. Is he an elite quarterback? Whatever. He's still an outstanding quarterback. And I believe when Mike Tannenbaum said their defense is good enough to compensate for whatever flaws Dak Prescott might have. And yet this team can't win a playoff game. Why? Why? Couldn't do it with Tony Romo. You know, can't do it with Dak Prescott. Two very, very good quarterbacks. All right, maybe they're not the greatest. Maybe not a Hall of Famers. They're still outstanding quarterbacks. Weapons galore.
Speaking of Tony Romo, he made a comment in the game yesterday that the 49ers should go for it. Which was the most ridiculous. When they were on the 50-yard line, it was fourth and one. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I didn't understand.
Why would you ever go for it there? I mean, that's a riverboat gambler move that would get you fired. There's no way that you would go for it. He was all over the place yesterday. Yeah. I'll tell you. He was all over the place.
Romo, when the game is calm and he's just talking casually, he's really good. When big moments start to pick up and he starts getting jazzed.
First down, everyone. I did it.
You just remember, he's inexperienced. He gets excited and says stupid stuff. You're like, dude, what are you saying right now?
And
relax. Like, he loses it regularly. And can I tell you who I thought did a great job this weekend, though? I know sometimes Michael gets mad at me because, Don, you and I are – I'll talk to you, Don. You and I are honest about the fact that very often Michael feels like he's kind of checked out. The NBC coverage with Tirico, he was really dialed in. I really enjoyed hearing him do that game.
Well, these are his last games at NBC?
Tirico?
No. I thought you meant
– Oh, no. I just meant because I'm comparing the NBC broadcast. And, you know, listen, Michaels and Collinsworth are always fine – but I did think that with Tirico, you really got like a renewed energy on that broadcast.
But you know what? A lot of people are saying that he carried the broadcast because Drew Brees brought nothing to the party. I mean, if they think they're going to plug Drew Brees into the A-team, they're wrong. He's not ready. You got to bring back Collinsworth.
And since we're talking about analysts, I guess Aikman revealed a little bit too much on the air, didn't he?
I thought it was great.
It was. I'm sure he spoke for every Fox executive.
Absolutely,
apparently CBS bought that game.
Yeah,
like
for
$70
million.
Dollars.
Yeah. Fox could have. CBS did.
Here's a guy.
I loved that moment, though. It was a very authentic moment from Troy Aikman.
All right. Now, one of the things I love about Don, I mean, I love most things about
so
Don.
So much.
When he makes bad picks, he'll go, you know, I do it again. Peter, which one do you regret the most of your three picks? Patriots?
Yes.
And you had them as your three-point pick.
And again, this goes back to why I said I'm terrible at allocating points. How did I put 3 points on the game I truly believed in the least?
Why do you do this?
Don said it well the other day. It was comfort food. I went, you know what? I don't really like this game, but I'm going to trust that Belichick will Belichick, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's but guys, let me be honest. My hunches the entire weekend were wrong. I liked the Raiders, too. There wasn't a game that I saw the right way this weekend. But to answer your question, the Patriots, I don't know why I thought, come on. I mean, okay, granted, I thought the weather was going to be more of a factor. You know, we spent all this time pontificating on Friday about how Josh Allen's bad in bad weather. Yeah, not so much.
Now, fun with numbers. They do a great job breaking down our pick segment. It's amazing. And the reason that Don is within striking distance, let me add this up, 12 of 14. He's gotten 12 of 14 3-point picks right.
Unreal.
The only reason that I'm keeping my head above water is that I've gotten 7 of my last 8 3-point picks right. And the reason why Peter has fallen by the wayside, 8 of 11 of his last 3-point picks he's lost. But you really nailed the one-pointers, Peter.
That's great, except not this weekend even, because I would have been excited to at least get something, but that was awful. And then
Don's fallen down the sewer cap with the two-pointers. He hasn't been able to get that right.
I felt confident I would at least get that Cowboys pick. And, of course, even late in that game when they were threatening, they still wouldn't have covered.
No.
But here's what I thought was going to happen. Because their kicker's so bad.
Yeah, I was hoping
they were going to miss the field goal, and then they end up scoring. They'd either win by a field goal, or they missed the extra point. And then they'd miss the field goal or get a field goal and it would just be a push, or they'd score a touchdown.
If we get pushes, we get pushes.
I see that happening. And I saw the Eagles game slipping away too. Because of that, I even texted Peter. I said, you're going to get these 2 points because if they would have scored a nothing touchdown and gotten a 2-point conversion, boom, you cover the 8.5.
Yeah, and don't worry, it didn't happen.
Were you sad, Peter?
I honestly was in a bad mood. Basically,
it does put me in a bad mood. I'll tell you why. And remember how I was afraid Saturday could put me in a bad mood? It put me in a great mood the rest of the time because I had both of them.
I'm letting go at this point, though. I figured out the schedule in which I can grow my hair out. I think it's a little bit wrong, Don, that we've entered this whole thing without Michael. Even doesn't even have a punishment on the table.
So I do so.
What is it?
Dye my hair red.
Oh, do we ever agree
sure
to that
look,
even?
Yes.
He's going to look gorgeous. He's going to look like Robert Redford.
No, not Lucille Ball red. Bozo the Clown
well,
red.
Well, let's see. Let's see if that actually happens.
Well, let's see me lose.
We're not together. Who knows what's going to happen? Peter, I predicted he's going to decide to be a redhead for the rest of his life after this.
So, wow. Right. Me and John Shambi.
Right.
That's right. Knowing your luck, that's
not. It's not orange or auburn. It's going to be bright red.
Well, how many days is it?
I have to do it for a week, I think.
Yeah.
And no one even set a time on mine. It was just like, Peter, you're just going to grow your hair out. You know.
All right, so what would you like as your punishment, Peter? What would
Like? Listen, I'll take my punishment.
You want to eat more crickets, or what do you want to do?
No, I did the math on this. All-Star weekend is what? I think the weekend after the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah!
So All-Star, I presumably will be working or doing something. I'm not going to do it for then. So out of All-Star weekend, which would be like February 20th or so, I could grow my hair from that point until WrestleMania weekend at the beginning of April.
Wow. And you know what? So right after All-Star weekend, you and Kevin Durant will come back and your hair will be back.
Yeah. How exciting for everyone.
Yes.
Oh, I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be
tough for
Peter.
You know what? You can still come back because I've looked at the four games this weekend.
Oh, you got nothing. Oh,
I think I'm heading for 0-3.
Well, Peter's biggest enemy is duplicating your picks. Like, that's
right.
The problem. We only have so many games, so the likelihood of there being the same pick are very good, especially when we get to championship week. And because we have to submit them earlier, he's not going to be able to play four corners, or you're not going to be able to. You know, so
that is the hard part.
Stranger things have happened.
All right, we're going to take a brief timeout. We'll take some phone calls on a big, big, exciting weekend. 4:30, we have Steve Young today, a special time, 4:30. And then we got the big night game. A Monday night wild card game. I love it. It's the Rams against the Cardinals, which should be a really good game as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
I've really had a good weekend, let's be honest. Got my three-point pick, got my two-point pick. Peter went 0-3, is now 9 points behind. He's right now on the precipice of falling out of it.
There's 14 available points, and he's 9 back, so.
And, Don, how many are you back from Michael?
If I can hit today, I would be, 3.5.
And so you're 4.5 up on me as well. So you're still very much in play for me. That's the key. I mean, everyone knows the key is just getting out of last place.
Right.
Even more so than winning is not losing. But this week, I have never in my life watched games more confident that whatever outcome I wanted, the opposite was going to happen.
The Michael Kay Show.
10-pound chicks.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, welcome back to the show, everybody. Kay LaGreca and Rosenberg taking you until 7 o'clock. Just a quick aside, Stephen A. has been out. Stephen A. Smith, our good friend, has been out from First Take for a while. And I knew that he had COVID-19. I checked in with him when I had first heard it. That was about 3 weeks ago. And he said, you know, he was feeling okay. He was doing okay. Came on the air today, and he said that he really thought he was going to die.
Wow, really?
That he had 103 fever for 2.5 straight weeks. And it got so bad that he had to check into a hospital on New Year's Eve and stayed there until through New Year's Day. He had developed pneumonia, and his liver had gotten affected as well. He was vaccinated. He was not boosted, as far as I know. And the doctor told him, if you were not vaccinated, you would be dead. And it's strange because he said his sister is a smoker. And she got it, and she had, like, the sniffles for 2 days, and, you know, the same DNA and all that, and it didn't affect her nearly the way it affected Stephen A., but we're glad he's okay. He was on the air today making fun of the Dallas Cowboys losing, so he's in pretty good spirits, he said, but he still doesn't feel right. If he goes to the gym, he has to start really slowly. His lungs are just not back, so that's a scary, scary thing, and I'm just glad that he's back and he's doing okay.
Yeah, just continue to do your due diligence out there. I know there's a lot of great stories, mostly majority great stories, but you do hear the occasional story. And what is Stephen? You know, he's my age. He's 53, and he's in really good health.
Yeah,
he's good shape. Works out a lot. I mean, that's tough.
So just knock on wood that he is okay and that he's back. And he said he's taken more sick days in the last 4 weeks than he's ever taken in his life because this guy works and never takes off, never takes vacation. So scary. The football weekend was it was kind of entrancing, to tell you the truth. I don't want to over dramatize, but I didn't leave the TV. I mean, yesterday I watched all three games, every single minute of it. On Saturday I watched all two games, and the most fun part, you know, maybe I don't know if Don's there yet with his children, but Charlie knew. I tried to explain what a bet was, and you know that I'm competing with you and Peter, and he knew how important the Bills game was, not the Bills game, the Raiders game, Raiders and the Bengals. And sitting on my lap watching the last 5 minutes, and you could feel his heart was pounding. He was so nervous, and he said, "Wow, this is really good. This is fun." And so he was getting into it. And then we watched a lot of the Nickelodeon broadcast yesterday, which was extremely well done by Noah Eagle. So just a great, great weekend for the NFL, and I think they got it right too, keeping it for 3 days now, because now the entire world is going to be watching a game that should be really, really good with so much on the line. Matthew Stafford against Kyler Murray. I can't wait for this game tonight on CBS, I think, not CBS, ESPN, and also ABC. So the game starts at 8:15, and then boom, we'll be all set. And the thing that stinks about having a Monday night game, the mm-hmm. higher profile game, you would want to, you know, be a nighttime game this weekend, but there was something that the winner of this game can't realistically be expected to play on Saturday, so that'd be playing on Sunday, and that kind of sets the schedule in a different way. But even if you do play on Sunday, the winner of this game is at a disadvantage, guys, because you're playing on a short week.
Yeah, I just don't know if we've learned anything yet, because the teams that won in romps because
they're better.
They were so much better than the opposition. I mean, if this was the old format, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh wouldn't be in there. So you look at Kansas City and Tampa and say, well, I guess they're the teams to beat. Look how well they played. But I'm not sure. Listen, they played well, and they deserve to get the wins that they got. I just don't know if this now solidifies them as the team to beat. We see what Tennessee and Green Bay will finally get a chance to play this week. But I don't know if we're any closer to determining who the best teams of football are, and we're about ready to go into the second round of the playoffs.
That's why I look at this week, and I think that all four games are extraordinarily tough to pick. They just are. There's none of the four that you look at, and we don't know what the fourth game is until we find out, you know, who wins tonight. But none of the three games that are set that you go, oh, that's a definite in my mind. I mean, you know, we haven't done the full work on it, but
right, well,
those are tough.
How can someone tell you that they're sure in the KC Buffalo game?
No. What are you going to get? And I think that's going to be a great game.
And the only trend we really got so far, and we'll see what happens tonight, is how well the home teams played outside of Dallas. Not only did the home teams win, they covered. So if that were to happen with the Rams tonight, 5 of the 6 games the home team won and covered. So does that lead into the second round where you give that kind of advantage to the home team? Or is this just getting rid of the flotsam and jetsam, as Michael would like to say, and now we get to the real playoff team?
Now you know, just watching the way Pittsburgh played against Kansas City yesterday, I'm kind of ticked off that the Charger-Raider game didn't end in a tie. Pittsburgh didn't belong in there. They're terrible. They're terrible. Tell me the Raiders wouldn't have played better than that? Now, the Raiders would have ended up going to
Kansas City,
yeah.
But by the way, anyone else who was in contention for the playoffs, I feel would have been better in that spot probably.
Now let's bring in Andrew, because I love to annoy him. Andrew, I mean, would you rather have not made the playoffs than perform that
way?
Well,
hey there. No, but that's a fair question, because it was that bad. When you're down 31-0 through three quarters, like that, you can now put on the table, would I have rather not been there? But I think for a team like this with a first-year head coach and a quarterback in his first season starting, that
might be
one
his last season starting.
Maybe. I mean, that's now a question. That's a fair question now, too. But they won 4 games last year. They were 2-5 earlier this season. To turn it around and get to 9-8, to clinch a playoff spot with a week to spare, I mean, you still have to look at that as a successful season, as a step in the right direction. But yesterday, I mean, that was so bad that it was hard to see through a lot of that yesterday. And Jalen Hurts, I was sure, would be the quarterback next year, you know, 24 hours ago. But now that's back on the table now, too. I still think it probably will be him. But, I mean, he could have shut the door on that entire conversation this offseason. Now that door, he swung it open again yesterday.
It doesn't look like he could throw. I mean, again, the run they went on after they started so slowly, Andrew, was predicated on the run, not on the throw.
Well,
get to the playoffs, you have to have a quarterback that could throw.
Right. You've got to at least be well balanced. Like you can still be a run heavy team, but you have to pose some other threat, because the Bucs, I mean, it was pretty clear what they were doing defensively. They loaded up in the box and they said, okay, Jalen Hurts, beat us. Throw the ball and beat us. And he couldn't do it until late in the game when the Bucs kind of softened up their defense a little bit. And he's developed. The last four games of last season versus how he looked this season, he's certainly gotten better. He's a Pro Bowl alternate for whatever that's worth. He has improved, and I think he still will. He's only 23. But that was tough to watch yesterday.
Well, think about the games that were played over the weekend. We don't know what Carr's future is in Vegas. We don't know if Mac Jones is the answer or whether he's just a game manager. Right? The Eagles might be looking for another quarterback. 49ers have their quarterback, but it probably is not Garoppolo. Steelers are going to have to find another quarterback. Ben's gone. So you got like half the teams in the playoffs might have different quarterbacks next year.
I will tell you this, though, Don. I think the Raiders would be making a huge mistake getting rid of Carr.
No, I agree.
Who's better than Carr that they're going
to
get?
Hey, this is what I would say to anybody who's like not sure about their quarterback. Not sure is way better than no. Because where are you going to get them? Like, you've got playoff teams that don't have quarterbacks. So if you've got one, it's gold.
I desperately want Washington to get Russell Wilson. It's the only way to compete. The only way to compete. You can make the playoffs. It's fine. Sure, make the playoffs. But who are the teams that got eliminated? Teams that didn't have a real, real quarterback.
It was actually kind of sad watching Roethlisberger yesterday. He can't play anymore. He can't throw the ball anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was short on all of his long passes. He was even bad on his short passes, which is what he did for most of the season this year. He's a shot quarterback. He just is.
Well, it was like watching Breeze last year. Except I think Roethlisberger's a lot more shot, but still, it was like he didn't have the arm strength, and you just saw that it was over for Breeze, and you see it's over for Roethlisberger. But yet, that's how exceptionally well-coached they are, and the instincts by the quarterbacks were still true enough to navigate their last seasons to make the playoffs.
Let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776, and we'll start it with Paul in Rochester. Paulie.
Hey, guys. I just got a quick question for Peter, then a comment.
Okay.
Peter, why are you listening? Why are you listening to Mike Tannenbaum, and why weren't you listening to Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson? I remember, Michael, you asked both who was the toughest team they played, and they both said without hesitation, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, top to bottom, are the best team, and I think they are the best team.
They sure showed it. They sure showed it on Saturday. You cannot argue that.
Mm-hmm. Just the way they were able to run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball with success. They were running the ball, and they haven't been stopping the run, and they stopped the run. And they've been doing that the last 3 weeks. So I think the Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl bound. What do you guys think?
You're not that far off. I think the Chiefs might be their toughest competition in the AFC. Now, here's what the caller's saying. This is what Saleh and Wilson said when we asked them who the best team was that they faced. Coach, of the teams you played this year, who's the best team?
Oh, man. I feel like we played a lot of them, bud. Buffalo, they all present different challenges, right? Like Buffalo is probably the most complete team. When you look quarterback, run game, pass game, their defense is ridiculous.
Was there a player this year that you played against that you had a wow moment and you go, wow, these guys are freaks how good they are?
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, I think in general, that defense was legit.
Wow, so you listened to Mike, but you didn't listen to the Jet coach and quarterback that actually was on the field.
Okay, listen, I'm down to make fun of how awful my weekend was, okay? Mm. But let's not lie. I had the pick, I said it earlier, then Tannenbaum said it. The only thing I didn't do was jump off of the pick because of Tannenbaum. I didn't listen to him.
Yeah, you didn't. I'm sorry for going through this, Peter. No. I really am.
Now, the Bills are probably going to have to get a road game in there, you know, at some point, so whether it's in Kansas City or Tennessee. So we'll see. But Buffalo is certainly in the conversation.
Isn't it funny, though? I don't feel – and they could end up being in the Super Bowl. Why am I not, like, trending toward, like, Tennessee? They're really good, and they're getting back Derrick Henry. Why don't I feel like them about them the way I feel about
Tennessee.
The Bills and the Chiefs? But they're good. They might have one of the best coaches in football.
It's Tennessee.
It's Tannehill.
That's right.
Tannehill,
that's
Mahomes.
True.
Is he Allen? You know, it really is when you look at the quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs, just from statistics tells you he's probably last. And in a league where you need your quarterback to play well, now they can run and they've got a great defense and they're exceptionally well coached, but you get into some of these games, I mean, are you going to tell me that you would take Tannehill over any of the other quarterbacks that they're going to have to face going? I mean, No. You still would take Mahomes. You would – everybody.
Let's bring in Milkbone. I think his wife is happy today.
Yes. Happy,
he's not.
Happy wife, happy life,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. I inadvertently hit the wrong button.
All these years, that's still a thing?
I'm sorry. I messed up. Milkbone, please call back. That's my fault. Totally my fault.
Wow.
Make me feel worse, right?
What? You think you know someone in this town?
You don't know me. No one knows me. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you? Big fan. First time, long time.
Well, thank you. Welcome aboard.
Hey, no, I just have, I just want to talk about this year's game. You know, Dallas kind of, you know, they're very unorganized, and, you know, I don't think, you know, Mike McCarthy really didn't have them, you know, ready to play. You know, just with that said, I mean, you know, you think Jerry will, you know, keep Mike with that, and, you know, the last play of the game, you know, I don't know why, you know, Dak didn't try to run out of bounds to save time on the clock.
Yeah, I don't think he could have gotten out of bounds. He was trying to gain chunks of yardage. He was trying to have the best of both worlds. You know, there was a lot of open territory in front of him. And if you listen to Dan Orlovsky break it down today on Get Up, it was brilliant. There's a certain amount of time that you do that. I think it has to be like 15 to 18 seconds before you could even think about trying it. And Orlovsky said because they were working with 14 seconds, what Dak had to do was slide earlier, 10 yards earlier, and then hold onto the ball and give it right to the official. He said then he could have gotten one more snap after that. He said, but he kept going and kept getting as much yardage as he could. You know, if you were the defense, just let him keep running. And then tackle him at the five, and the game is over anyway, but the game ended up being over.
Oh, this was tweeted out earlier today. Hail Mary hit rate, 40 to 50 yards. They were at the 40, 11% chance of success. Under 40 yards, 11% chance. Exactly the same. Now what you're betting on is give me multiple chances. So at the 40, I'd have two shots at the end zone. So by running that play, you know you're not scoring on that play. So all you're doing is getting the ball at the 20 for one shot. Now, I think the odds of throwing a 20-yard touchdown pass are better than a 40 because that would be considered a Hail Mary, right? But still, I would rather the two cracks at the 40 than one crack at the 20. I really don't know what the end game was of running that play.
Well, and also remember this. The only option you have with 14 seconds from the 40 is to try to run out to the sidelines and get a shot. If you do anything in the middle of the field, you're not even guaranteed to get the next shot. So why not just set up when you already had the clock stopped anyway? They had a clock stoppage. Set your next two plays and run shots at the end zone.
Now, in terms of keeping McCarthy, yesterday, Jerry Jones was not real effusive. Didn't have any praise at all. He said, I'm not even thinking about something like that. But today, Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, and the executive vice president, he has a weekly spot on a station in Dallas. He said they feel very good about McCarthy, and he's very optimistic that he's going to come back. He should have said, well, I'm going to wait till Daddy tells me.
It's ridiculous. Why would they bring him back?
Well, I think the thing that's going to happen, they're so in love with Kellen Moore, who I would assume that he had something to do with that call, who's a 33-year-old, and he's getting interviewed today for a coaching position, that if somebody wants to hire him, Jerry, that might force Jerry's hand. But if Kellen Moore doesn't get a job, then maybe they keep Mike McCarthy. Who knows? I mean, they're paying him a lot of money. He's got three more years on his contract, too.
They kept him last year. They just changed the staff, changed the defensive coordinator, and that was supposed to work. And it did, as far as how well they played in the regular season. You know, 11-5 is not, you know, the greatest record, but still it was good enough for them to be able to have a home game in the playoffs. And then you have that performance. Again, I want to take anything away from the 49ers. Really good football team. But honestly, they should not have been up as big. And then they let the door wide open for them, and the Cowboys couldn't kick it down.
Yeah, it was an awful look. Just that last play and the fact that his team is so undisciplined that they had 14 penalties. How are you going to win? And they almost won. shows you how good they are, the talent-wise. They almost won the game with 14 penalties. They kept shooting themselves in the foot. They would have drives that marched them back further than they'd go forward. It was amazing. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Buddha?
Good. Listen, this wild card weekend was atrocious. I have to be quite honest with you. As a fan, watching the games, the extra game and the extra playoff teams, it was not a smashing success. You know, when you look at Buffalo, I mean, everybody in this part of town was definitely happy. So we can't complain about that game, but that was a blowout. You knew the Chiefs were going to blow out the Steelers. But, I mean, Dallas's performance and, I mean, Philadelphia, I mean, there's no way you could come back with that guy as a quarterback. He doesn't throw in anticipation, and his arm is not that strong. But the officiating, just in that Cincinnati game alone, forget about them blowing a whistle accidentally. Did you see that play with the guy Kareem where he bumped into Carr's shoulder pads and Carr pointed to his helmet and they threw the flag? I mean,
Yes.
That was some bad officiating, man. It really was.
One of the officiated games, I guess the first one, they're not officiating at all. Terribly officiated game. Was that the one with the whistle?
Yeah. Now the whistle blew. The ball was in the air, but you know, still the whistle blew. Do I think the same thing would have happened? Did they stop playing when they heard the whistle that would have affected the play?
I think the defenders did.
But the ball was almost in the receiver's hands. It was in the air. I don't know why the whistle blew anyway. He clearly was in bounds. It was awful. And even though it didn't turn out to be a big deal because they got blown out, but roughing the passer on Philadelphia on that first Tampa drive was awful. He hit him in the hip. He didn't hit Brady low, and that gives him a fresh set of downs, and they score. Now, would the outcome have changed? But really, for Philadelphia to have to play a perfect game, giving Brady a fresh set of downs on the first possession was not what you wanted to have. Protecting the quarterback, but give me a break.
I've got unbelievably great news before we break and go to Steve Young. You're not going to believe this.
Holy crap.
So you, unlike Ryan Rucco, you guys have watched Rocky, right?
Of course.
Do you know that Sylvester Stallone still has Cuff and Link, the two turtles from that movie? They're still alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they live.
They live forever. They live 100, over 100 years. Yeah,
it's crazy.
But he's got them both.
I did not know that.
I just thought that you'd want to know that.
That's a very nice story.
I know. There's so much negativity in the world, but Cuff and Link are still around.
I wish Burt Young was still with us.
Well, Rocky did. You know, Sly did the one thing that keeps you in the spotlight. He killed everybody in the movie. And then some of them passed away in real life.
Right.
He killed Mickey. He killed Paulie. He killed his wife.
Well, I think Mickey was going to die no matter what.
He killed Apollo Creed.
That's true.
Well, Mickey didn't die till the third movie, right?
Yeah, but I mean, how much longer did Burgess Meredith live after that?
I don't know. Not as long as Cuff and Link.
Burt Young is still with us in real life.
He's
47 years old now.
How old is he? That's not true, actually.
Burt Young is not with us.
No, he is with us.
You sure?
According to IMDb, he's still alive.
I can't trust Don with this stuff.
Well, I'm looking at IMDb. They always
dear God.
They give it 30 seconds before it happens.
Burt
He's
Young.
80. He's 80, which means he was like 36 in the first Rocky, which
He's
is ridiculous.
81.
Burt Young is still around.
Yeah.
He had that brilliant appearance on The Sopranos 15 years ago.
Right, as Bobby Bacala's dad.
Yep.
Daddy Bacala.
That didn't end well either.
Never does.
Well, no, but he got the job done that he had to do. You know?
All right, so we're going to take a brief timeout because we have so much to talk about with Steve Young. So much.
Wow, Burt Young has 106,000 followers on Instagram.
Look at that. Not as much as you, though.
I mean, wow. I'm impressed.
You couldn't have been impressed with the way the Knicks played tonight.
No.
Today. Anyway, we'll come back. Steve Young, the Hall of Famer. We'll break it down for the people. Was there anything good about the Prescott last play? And everything else that went on Wild Card Weekend. And tonight's Monday Night are on ABC and ESPN. It's Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Steve Young.
Tell me the end game of running that quarterback sneak in that situation.
Terrible in so many ways. They got out coached in every direction. If you wonder the NFL, hey, does coaching matter? See 49er versus Cowboys and watch what's happened. Watch the penalties. Watch the discipline. The last play. Can you get down to the 40? Do you want two plays at the end zone and from the 40? Or do you want to go for one? I can have a conversation about it. I'd rather have two plays from the 40. But so you want to sneak it. You want to figure that out. Fine. Go ahead. But with 14 seconds to go, everybody knows 17 is the Maginot line for a play to be run to have enough time to make sure you get to the line of scrimmage, you get it snapped. You really got to be buttoned up. You got to get back to the ball, hand it to the referee, because you got to know the referee's got to spot it. Anybody who's smart knows that I got to get it, not to the center. The official has to touch it. So get it to the official.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Been a good hour, 20 minutes. We came on a little bit later today. The Knicks lost an embarrassing game to Charlotte at the Garden today, and the Nets are trailing Cleveland 101-98 with 4:50 remaining in the fourth quarter, now 101-99. And don't dismiss Cleveland, everybody. Cleveland just came off a West Coast trip. They were 5-1. 5-1. So they're for real.
This year's Hawks or Knicks.
Yeah, they are for real. So I'm thinking about this as I'm watching the playoffs and what we were just talking about. So we saw Josh Allen, who's in his fourth year, so let's give him that. Justin Herbert, to me, is a transcendent quarterback. That's how good he is. Joe Burrow is an absolute stud. He's just in control. And what I would ask everybody within the sound of our voice right now, Daniel Jones doesn't scratch the surface of any of them. No. And I got to be totally honest. I know he's just a kid, and he got better as we went along. Do you see that in Zach Wilson's future? Do you see that kind of greatness? Now, you might say I'm being unfair. Am I really? He's the second pick in the draft. I mean, that's what you expect him to be. You don't expect him to be a hack. Expect him to be great. Joe Burrow's great. This is his second year. Josh Allen's great in his fourth year. Justin Herbert was even great in his first year, and so was Joe Burrow. So what are we seeing here? Do we know what we're seeing? And do we think, both of you guys, do you believe that you see the potential of that? Let's just eliminate Daniel Jones. Probably not. But do you see the potential of that in Zach Wilson?
That Zach Wilson could be Josh Allen?
Yeah.
I think it's still on the table that it could happen.
I mean, do you see it? No, but you didn't see it in Allen.
Okay, so let's take Allen out, but you saw it in Herbert and Burrow.
Yeah, but you didn't see it in Aikman. You didn't see it in Manning. You know, who you play for matters.
Right.
You know, Cincinnati had some weapons, a good coach. I mean, Buffalo was a 6-10 team that first year with Buffalo for Allen. You know, Sean McDermott was a different coach than he is now than he was 4 years ago. All right, did they have the weapons that they have now? That team has matured into something here. That's why you have to have patience. You're supposed to see it. I don't know. Like, you can make the case. We've seen it in Herbert, but now you look at the way, you know, we don't know what it's going to end up maturing into be, and then you don't see it in Allen, and he ends up becoming an MVP candidate. So I think we put too much into we have to see a certain thing in the first year. You don't.
But what is clear, Michael, I think it's a way harder conversation about what Zach Wilson could be
I don't think the door is shut on anything for Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. The door is shut on Daniel Jones.
Jones has had a few years here.
He's not now changing to potentially become one of those guys. Your ceiling for Daniel Jones now is that he could be a middle of the pack guy.
You hope.
That's ceiling.
Yeah.
His ceiling is right. Middle of the pack. He's not turning into Josh Allen. And to Don's point, it's so hard to know with how early it is for Robert Saleh and how early it is for this Jets team. It's really hard to know if Zach Wilson could be special. But, again, we should be able to have an idea next year. How many times does it take more than 2 years? Because after year two, Don, it was pretty clear Josh Allen was awesome. I'm curious to how often it takes more than two starting to see who a quarterback is.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about, McDermott was in his second year as head coach when Allen was drafted. So he was still, he's only 47 now. So we're still talking about a very young guy, similar to Saleh, very inexperienced as a head coach, not a lot of talent around him. Then they went out and they got him that talent. Now, that's what the Jets have to do here because they didn't have a lot of talent around him. Now, the disturbing thing was he just wasn't completing easy passes, but he seemed to get over the hump once he got back from that injury. He was playing better in the last month of the season. But even then, you don't know, Michael, because maybe the best month Sam Darnold ever had was the last month of his rookie year. But the inconsistent changing the coach and a lot of things kind of fell apart. There's stability with the Jets. So they're going to come back with the same coaching staff, same offensive coordinator. They're going to come back hopefully and spend some money and draft some real talent around him. We saw some of that talent emerge later in the season with Moore and Barrios. There could because it's the Jets, it's hard to bet that they will get it right because history says they won't. But I could see a lot of similarities between him and Allen to where maybe he could turn out to be the next Josh Allen.
Well, the thing that concerns me, and again, this is going to make me sound like I'm off the wall, but you can eyeball the it factor. You just can. Some people have it. I'm not sure I've seen it yet with Zach Wilson. I'm not being unfair. I just haven't seen it yet. Numbers can't quantify it. There's nothing analytical about it. You just have a feel. I mean, you say some teams got put in good situations. Don, Joe Burrow went to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't exactly go to the New England Patriots. So if he could overcome that cesspool, wow. I mean, if you've got talent, you should be able to overcome things. Now, I do say Zach Wilson got better in the second half of the season, and he didn't have any weapons whatsoever. But I agree with Peter. Let's see something in year two.
Right.
Daniel Jones didn't show us enough. Sam Darnold, even that first year, Don, we would argue all the time. I didn't see it. I didn't see the greatness. I saw moments, flashes of, wow, he could be good, but I never saw greatness. You watch Justin Herbert, you see a rocket arm, a presence in the pocket. Same thing with Joe Burrow. You see greatness. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it with Zach Wilson. I don't think we're going to see it with Daniel Jones, and I get the sense that the GM and the coach are going to bring in somebody to battle for Daniel Jones for that quarterback spot. Nobody's going to sign up and say Daniel Jones is our guy moving forward. They're just not. You can't.
Well, just get him at least some help as far as a backup quarterback, but I don't know how much you're going to want to challenge him. I think they believe he's the guy.
No, I don't think the new coach and GM will. Jumbo Elliott just
Jones now. Yeah,
Jones.
I don't know how they'll feel about him. There's enough work there, and I know Jones has had no great offensive line. But we saw some flashes. But to Peter's point, we just finished 3 years, not three complete years because he's had some injuries, which is something you have to factor in too. And what we don't talk enough about is how is he going to recover from this neck injury?
Right.
Forget about how he's played prior to that injury. Is he able to bounce back and be able to do the things necessary to determine whether you give this guy a contract coming back from a neck injury that we thought he was going to miss a couple of weeks, he ended up missing the rest of the year?
I mean, let's just think about it like this. How bad is it? Someone says, hey, without you knowing anything about the situation, let me tell you about the quarterback we got over the last 3 years. You tell me what you think the future sounds like. Here's the deal. No winning seasons. Statistically, he's been worse each year. And he misses a handful of games every season. Thoughts?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's what the story is on Daniel Jones, sadly. Hard to get excited about that.
But to Michael's point about the it factor, well, you saw it from Mahomes, but he sat the first year. So how would you feel about him if he played that first year? If there was no Smith and he was forced to play, how would he play? And would you think he had the it factor that he had in his second year when he finally got some playing time? You know, you saw the it factor right away from Rodgers, but he got a chance to sit for a little while too. Roethlisberger, he jumped right in to a winning situation. Now, that was a really good football team. This was you didn't see it from Josh Allen.
But you would also have to say one thing, though. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch Josh Allen play that much that first year. Patrick Mahomes, the way, you know, the new phrase, off-schedule throws, you don't see that from Zach Wilson, and that's supposedly his thing.
No, I haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean I won't see it. And also, all right, I had the same argument with Sam when he was here, but I think it still applies to Wilson. All right, so he won't be Mahomes. That doesn't mean he can't be a quarterback to lead him to a Super Bowl.
Oh, no, right, I get it, and maybe I'm being greedy because I think the second pick in the draft should be like Patrick Mahomes, and I think the same thing they're saying in Jacksonville about their quarterback. I mean, when you're selected that high, you are not expected to be a game manager. You're expected to be a difference maker.
But there is that Eli Manning between where he was never one of the top five quarterbacks, but he was good enough to win you a couple of Super Bowls. I think any Jet fan would take Zach Wilson being the seventh best quarterback in the NFL – but consistently going to the playoffs and maybe winning a championship.
Right.
Right. So he won't be the best, you know, in the league, but maybe he will, maybe he won't. But does he have to be the best quarterback in the league in order for the Jets to win a championship?
No.
He just can't be awful. He can't again, be average. He still has to be very good.
I think I'm being a child because I watched Burrow and I watched Herbert and I get jealous. I don't see it with these guys. I don't see it. Again, I must be being a child here, but they are. Those guys are transcendent. I don't see that yet. Zach Wilson, I'm not saying doesn't have a chance, but he did not show me it this year. He just didn't.
But we didn't see a lot of Josh Allen his first year, you know, because it was Buffalo. I saw him a little bit because he played the Jets twice or whatever. And it's hard to really be ignored as a quarterback in the NFL, no matter how, you know, good or bad your team is. We pay attention. But, you know, when that second year, right, Peter, they went to the playoffs, that Houston game, and – you know, he coughed it up a couple of times. I'm not sure I saw it there either. You know, then you saw it in his third year when he's an MVP. You know, so now it's easy to say, well, you saw it right away. Well, not really. And everybody's on their own path. Some it's right away. Some it takes a little time. You know, it took some time for Aikman. It took some time for Manning. It didn't take any time at all for Dan Marino. You know, so everybody's on their own path. I think the rookie year you are on scholarship. But to Peter's point, Not anymore the second year. Now you're going to have to start to see. If we're having the same conversation like we did with Sam
then
at
we have
the
our
end
answer.
Of year two, then there's an issue.
And again, there's a lot to be said. Joe Douglas has some heavy lifting to do. He has to bring in talent.
Well, he's got
two first-round draft picks. And another thing that you know we haven't even touched on that much, if Mekhi Becton can't get healthy, they're in trouble. That's a first-round draft pick at left tackle, wasted. You know, we talk about DeBrickashaw Ferguson. He didn't miss any time, ever. Yeah. This guy got hurt in the first game and didn't come back, and they said it was a six-week injury. If you don't have your left tackle, then we start from zero again next year.
All right, but he's got cap space. He's got picks. He's got some weapons that got better as the season went on already that are on the team. So let's fast forward to January 17th, 2023. If we're doing a segment after the playoffs talking about, boy, we still haven't seen it from Wilson. That I think that's a major problem. I don't think you have to see playoffs. I don't think you have to see, like, brilliance, but you're going to have to see a better quarterback than you saw in year one.
And when we look at the playoffs that, you know, just took place, you know, the wild card weekend, and we still have a game to go, look at the winning teams. Mahomes is great. Burrow is great. You could say you just heard Steve Young wax poetic about Stafford. Kyler Murray is something special, too. I mean, it's just Jimmy Garoppolo has taken a team to the Super Bowl. It's going to be very, very interesting to see when he shakes loose from San Francisco because they didn't lose two years of first-round draft picks to select somebody and not have that guy be the quarterback. So Garoppolo's going to be out there. Who's going to sign him and for how much? But just look at the quarterbacks. You must have a great quarterback to succeed in this league.
But think about what Steve said. He said the perfect place for Garoppolo to be successful is where he is, and where he is doesn't want him. He said he needs Shanahan to be good. Well, Shanahan doesn't want him.
And Shanahan doesn't trust him. You brought it up in our pre-show meeting. Well, in a championship game, he threw seven passes?
Well, he does not. Shanahan thinks he can do better, and they've got a quarterback that they drafted that they are going to give a shot to. So Garoppolo's going to be out there. But to Steve Young's point, will he be any better someplace else? Like, so it's scary. Like, listen, there's the thing with Daniel Jones. Like, I don't think he's got it either. But are you better off trying to find out what you have in him than to start from scratch? Then there are playoff teams without quarterbacks, guys. Does Philadelphia have a quarterback?
No. They proved it. No.
You know, so, and they made the playoffs with the guy. So it just shows you that when you have him, you hold on to him like grim death. So that's why I think, I don't know how this new head coach and this general manager are going to feel. And if they're going to want to go and try to get into the sweepstakes for Rodgers, are they going to try to get into the sweepstakes with Wilson? Will they take a chance on a Fitzpatrick without a shirt on walking into MetLife Stadium? But it doesn't seem like there's anybody in the draft. So maybe it's worth the year to see if Jones maybe is the guy. Now, is it worth the 1 year to just try?
Oh, I think you've got to let him try. I mean, I don't think – unless you could bring it – like Mike Tannenbaum said he'd move heaven and earth to bring in Russell Wilson. Unless you bring in Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, let Jones go. Let's see what he has. Maybe he convinces you, and then you franchise tag him. I don't think I'd give him that fifth year.
I just don't see how the – if the Giants try to get in the sweepstakes for a Rodgers or Wilson, I just don't see what that they offer enough to get one of those guys, but –
And then you look at Philly, they have 3 first-round draft picks. They can't offer enough. But that will also set their rebuild back, because if Jalen Hurts is not the guy, well, then the 3 first-round draft picks that were going to stockpile what you really need, now you're going to have to package them to get that quarterback, because that quarterback is really not in the draft.
Well, let's address that, too. All right, sometimes things emerge after the combine, and you take a look at the great quarterbacks and where they were drafted in this league. You know, Mahomes went 10th. So let's we'll see if history proves out that the 2022 draft doesn't have a great quarterback in it. Maybe right now, maybe not right now, but isn't it possible somebody might come out of this draft that ends up being a great quarterback?
But Donnie, wouldn't you have heard at least some sniff of it? I mean, because at least you've heard, like Zach Wilson certainly went up the boards as you know the offseason went along. But you knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be great. You know, you just knew names out there. Now there's nobody. I mean, we've seen the early mock drafts. They just don't.
What?
And the kid from Pittsburgh, people are saying that the Steelers might take him, but he might be picked right, like 17th or 18th.
And it was around now where people were saying, oh, Patrick Mahomes is probably a 10th overall pick. That, you know, right around now they were talking about how Russell Wilson was a 3rd-round pick. Again, I don't know who it is. I don't identify it. It can't be. Maybe you can't quantify it. But all we're saying is that if you wanted to take a quarterback and you took a quarterback – that. Maybe Mel Kiper doesn't believe, but that doesn't mean he won't become a great quarterback. And you won't be taking him with the 1st or 2nd overall pick if you're the Giants. You're either taking him at 5 or 7. So is it worth a shot with one of those picks to take a quarterback if you think you believe in him? Forget what everybody else thinks. Do you believe in him? Because there's been plenty of misses in the draft.
Let's talk about this. 1-800-919-3776. Now, Jumbo Elliott, who certainly has a connection with the Giants, tweeted out just a couple of moments ago that he's hearing that Jim Harbaugh is eyeballing the Giants and the Raiders jobs. The Nets okay. just lose to the Cavaliers 114-107 in Cleveland. 114-107. Mm-hmm. Looked like a good game. I was watching as we're moving along, but you know, they're without Kevin Durant until probably late February. And they're in a stretch now where 9 of the next 11 games, including this one, are on the road. So you're finally going to get a chance to see the big three gel, and boom, Kevin Durant gets hurt over the weekend.
And we literally just said last week when we were speculating on how good this team could be, I threw in that caveat of if they're healthy.
Right.
And what are the odds of that? And a second later, here we are.
And back to Jumbo's tweet, Michael. Okay, Harbaugh's eyeballing them, but are they eyeballing back?
Right. We don't even know who the GM is. They had 2 more interviews today.
Yeah, what does it matter? Harbaugh wants to be the Giants coach. Well, the guy making the decision hasn't been hired yet, so it really doesn't matter.
All right, let's settle in. We got a lot to do. 1-800-919-3776. The Knicks have lost. The Nets have lost. Just been a great wild card weekend so far. It ends tonight. It's not the first wild card game ever on a Monday, by the way, just to tell you. There have been wild card games on a Monday because the Sunday was Christmas and they didn't play on Christmas. So they moved the game to Monday. So this is not the first wild card game ever on a Monday, but It is the first regularly scheduled without Christmas being there.
Well, I guess the way you say it, it's the first time ever that there have been playoff games on three separate days in the first week of playoffs.
And frankly, I love it.
Well, I'm going to love it coming 8:15. I'll love it even more if the Cardinals cover.
It's only 1 point, Don. What are you complaining about?
Well, it's close.
It is close.
Would you rather have me 3.5 back or 4.5 back?
I'd rather have
you
4.5 back.
All right. Well, then I guess it's a pretty big point. And Peter, would you rather be 5.5 back or 4.5 back? There you go.
4.5.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a big, big point. Big.
You know, to put into perspective how far back Peter is, Don. So, like, I'm thinking I'm not going to get one right this weekend. So let's say I'm 0 for 3. Peter has to connect on all three of his picks to pull to within 3.
Yeah, but you make it sound like that wouldn't be absolute disaster for you. If that happens and I'm back 3 with 2 weeks to go, you're in panic mode.
Oh, this is the clean living that Michael's going through, Peter. His 2-1 was way better than going 3-0. Way better.
Oh yeah.
Way better.
Once I got the 3-point pick, then I said, you know what? It makes sense because my 1-point pick is Peter's 3-point pick. It should lose.
Yeah, you got the best case scenario.
Yeah. I hope they lose.
Thank you, Andrew. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk. A lot of stuff to do, and we'll break down tonight's game as well. Big ENN coming up at 6. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you. Radio only today on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I get a tweet from Scott Erskine. Great wild card weekend. What are you smoking? 3 of the 5 games are unwatchable, and the Raiders are awful and had no right being as close as they were. Well, here's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm somewhat jaundiced from the fact that we've kind of got skin in the games, so that makes it interesting for me to watch. And with the points, a lot of those games that seem like blowouts, they were still debatable toward the end. And Scott, I enjoy football and I enjoy watching greatness. So the Tampa Bay game was the Eagles were awful, but I was fascinated that Tom Brady, without Godwin, without Antonio Brown, without Leonard Fournette, nothing stops this guy. He is a machine, and he's 44 years old. I don't know if you guys felt this way. Why was he in the game? What is Arians trying to do, Peter? I don't get it.
I felt the exact same way. I had no understanding of what was going on there. When that game was completely blown open.
And he kept getting sacked.
Yeah, and they're actually having him sit back in the pocket. I did not understand the logic there. And I'll take issue with that comment from the listener too, that and the Raiders had no business being in that game. They're terrible. What?
Why?
The Raiders had a great season where they overachieved and frankly fought to be in that game. They were never getting blown out by Cincinnati.
Listen, I don't want to be a snob when I watch football. I just want to see it be competitive. All right, was it the greatest game ever played? Did the Raiders technically deserve that opportunity? Well, they got there and it came down to the final play. That's all you can ask for when you're watching a game, no matter what sport it is, come down to the final play with it being in doubt. Now, let's say the Kansas City game was a blowout. All right, you went to bed early. All right, the Tampa game was a blowout, but if you stuck with it, yeah, it kind of got interesting, and you're watching Tom Brady. Eventually, he's going to be gone.
Oh, I was just going to say that. At one point, we're not going to be able to watch this guy. So, this guy's the greatest of all time.
And I look at when you have 6 games, we still got a game coming up tonight that could end up being a classic. We'll see. But I always look at, hey, if half the games are really competitive, then it's a win. And if tonight's game is really competitive, then half of them were. All right, the Dallas game was weird and strange, but tell me you weren't completely captivated by the end of that game. It wasn't a Picasso, but boy, was it fun to watch how all that materialized, and it came again down to the final play. All you can ask for.
Sometimes you don't have to have this great aria. Sometimes William Hung could sing and it goes on forever.
Well,
pulled that, didn't I, Peter? Pulled that right out of it.
William Hung, the casual reference to
yeah,
William
it's
Hung.
Really, it was really good.
Thank
but
you.
Mine is always, listen, there's times you go to Del Frisco's and you get their New York strip, but that doesn't mean you can't go to a burger joint and and have a good time eating a hamburger. One quality is different than the other, but you still had a great time.
I have not been to Del Frisco since February of 2020.
Wow. Oh. Sometimes you go to Del Frisco's and William Hung is your waiter. You know what I mean?
What was the song? Oh, She Bangs. That was the song.
That is quite a reference.
How many years ago was that?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a decade ago.
Probably
His
was.
Friends call him Bill. Bill Hung.
He's got a nickname, but I'm not going to share it.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. John in Hasbrook Heights. John.
How are you guys, sir? Happy Monday.
Same to you, John. What's up?
Okay, you mentioned earlier that there was, like, I think, another occasion where they played on Monday because it was Christmas on Sunday. I think it was 1977. The Bears were the wild card team. They played the Cowboys, and the Rams played the Vikings on Monday. But on Saturday was what Christmas Eve they played when they had the ghost of the post game.
Oh, so they played on Christmas, but they didn't play on Christmas Eve? Is that what
you
said?
No, they played on Christmas Eve, and they played the day after Christmas. The two AFC teams played Christmas Eve Saturday. There was a game with the Raiders and the Colts, and it goes to the postgame. And then the Steelers played the Broncos. And then on Monday, the Bears, who were the wild card team, played the Cowboys, and the Rams play the Vikings. But they were called divisional playoffs because there was only one wild card team in each conference at the time.
Well, here's the stat. This will be the seventh playoff game on a Monday and the first since 1988. The Rams will have played in five of the seven Monday playoff games, including each of the last four, including tonight's.
And the Rams are like so much more of a perennial playoff team than I think of them as being.
Don, you remember Flipper Anderson, right?
Oh, I do too.
I'd rather forget it. That was 1989.
I had a friend of mine who left a message on my message machine. There was no voicemail then.
A message machine.
Right.
Go ahead. What
do they call that?
Answering machine.
Answering machine. Thank you. Sure. And he just sang the whole Flipper song.
What was the Flipper song?
You call me Flipper, after the line. It was just from the show Flipper.
So here's the stat from 77. Broncos, Steelers, Raiders, Colts were both Saturday on the 24th. They played two games on Christmas Eve. No games on Christmas Day. And then that Monday, Cowboys, Bears, Vikings, Rams were the 26th.
Isn't that amazing, Don? They would play on Christmas Day now.
Well, I would personally think that you would rather play on Christmas Day than Christmas Eve. I guess their logic, because there were no night games then, they played 1 and 4, that it's okay to play Christmas Eve because it would be during the day.
Right.
So but
they have played on Christmas. There have been games on Christmas now.
Yeah, but usually it's Christmas night, not Christmas like in the afternoon for football. But now I think they would definitely do it and avoid Christmas Eve. And by the way, get ready for the William Hung. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 2009.
04.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
No. So we're coming up on 20 years, never mind 10.
So there's a segment of our audience that has no idea what we're saying. So American Idol, look it up, William Hung, H-U-N-G, and he was just dreadful, but he became a star for a little bit because he was so bad. He sang She Bang. Celtics win today, Peter, 104-92 over New Orleans.
God, I hated American Idol.
Do you still hate it?
Is it still on?
Of course it's still on. It's on our network.
Yeah, it switched to ABC. I never watched an episode.
He's a big fan of the Ryan Seacrest vehicle.
Yeah, he's a huge shoot. No, he's a Hung guy.
Do we order food again, Peter? Is that why Bear's going out of his mind? Peter?
Did we lose Peter?
I turn myself down for a second until I get this under control. Unless you wanted to hear more from Bear
no,
and his William Hung.
I want to hear from Chris from Long Island. Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. And don't forget, he was singing Ricky Martin songs.
That's right.
And Ricky Martin goes way back to the early 2000s. And, you know, but Living La Vida Loca and She Bangs were his two big songs.
Well, that audition was January 15th, 2004. So we've already gone by the 18th anniversary of it. It's crazy.
Scary, Chris.
And Ricky Martin. And Ricky Martin definitively goes back to the 90s. But, yes, point taken.
And another thing I'll say about the Christmas thing, I remember 1971 watching that classic Dolphins-Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you'll probably remember it. That was Chris, and Don, you'll remember too. It was Christmas Day, I remember. I think the kickoff was around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it went into almost, I think maybe double overtime when Gary Premier kicked that field goal. Ed Podolak had the big game. So that was Christmas Day, I'm pretty sure. If you
no, definitely
that out.
Was Christmas Day. I was a little before my, like, I was 3 years old, so I don't remember that game. Michael probably, though,
remember. I vaguely remember.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But the reason I call, guys, is, you know, I'm a big Giant fan, and I know Peter's a big Washington fan. And I got to say one thing. Based on what I saw yesterday, it confirmed what I've been thinking all year. Our division stinks. I mean, we're just a very mediocre division. There's not great quarterback play. I always thought Dak Prescott was a little bit overrated. He hasn't been the same in the last 7 weeks or so. He doesn't look like the same quarterback. I mean, look at the quarterback play in our division. I mean, it's just mediocre. And, you know, not great coaches. I mean, Peter probably has the best coach, obviously. But my point is, as a Giants fan, I'm very optimistic that you can really, with the new regime coming in, 2 top picks, a 5 and a 7, hopefully a healthy Daniel Jones and maybe a healthier Saquon Barkley, you can turn this thing around and be very competitive in that division next year.
Well, that was the hope going into last year, right? Yeah. Or going into this year, was that, we're going to be able to be competitive, extra wild
but
card.
But Don.
Awful division.
Dak Prescott's not mediocre.
No, he's not.
He's
mediocre.
Not elite,
in the
but
playoffs,
he's not mediocre.
He's been. But here's the point about the divisions that I was thinking about. Would the Cowboys go 11-5 if they were in the West?
No.
You know, so we look at their record, and they had a home game, and I think they've got more talent than San Francisco. But San Francisco had to play in a division where 3 of the 4 teams went to the playoffs, and Seattle didn't have a great year, but still is a tough team to face. I mean, the Dallas got 2 games against Philly, 2 games against the Giants, 2 games against Washington. That's a heck of a lot easier than what San Francisco had to do with 2 games against Arizona, 2 against Seattle, and 2 against L.A.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Towel off, 1-800-919-3776. The floor is yours when we get back. Then ENN after that. We'll preview tonight's Rams and the Cardinals game. That's Monday Night Football, both on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN+. Plus, kickoff is at 8:15. It's Kay LeGreco-Rosenberg and you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Talk to me. Tell me your name. You blow me off like it's all the same. You lit it fierce and I'm taking away like a bomb. Yeah, baby. Cheap bass. Cheap bass. Oh, baby, when she moves.
This is exactly
I go crazy cause
what
she
Don was
like
talking about.
Love, but she stings like a bee.
You don't have to have Pavarotti to have entertainment.
She bangs.
Look at Bill Hung.
The great Bill.
Great Bill Hung.
The great, great Bill Hung. That's what an amazing couple of moments of art we got consecutively between that commercial that coming out of the break right into Bill Hung. I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I wonder if I agreed to buy 2 of those cars, if they would cut the Bart part of that screaming,
Wait, so you only want to cut the Bart part? You want to
No,
keep...
I'm Michelle's fine.
You're good with cars.
I'm so good with Michelle Scalise, but
really?
Bart continuing going, can't wait.
Come get some.
He's driving people away. I really do.
I don't know which is. They're both special things. But they
Jeep Adventure Days.
Yeah, sure.
Scalise any day. Bart,
you're one of the biggest Scalise guys there is.
J.J. Watt has been activated off the IR, so he'll be in there for the Cardinals tonight. What's your feel on this game, Don? Obviously, you like the Cardinals. Has anything changed?
No, I was waiting to see about J.J. Watt. I was kind of betting that he would play. So I think that certainly helps. It was interesting take from Steve Young about like the lack of pressure on Stafford because of how good he was in Detroit, and it wasn't his fault. The thing I would kind of disagree with is it's not a lack of belief in his talent. It's just that you were brought here for this specific purpose. And if you don't win it, then it's all going to be on you, whether that's fair or not. So I'll be interested to see. He's never really – he hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't had great games against winning teams. Arizona 8-1 on the road. This is an interesting spot for him and how much he feels the responsibility to carry this team to a Super Bowl, because that's what he was asked to do.
I tend to disagree with Steve on this. 0-3 in the playoffs. I've talked to ball players in my career in sports. Playing for a bad team is a completely different animal playing for a team that's supposed to win. Completely different. Yeah. You can compile stats. It's nice, easy, breezy, lemon squeezy. There's nothing going and playing for the Lions. Obviously, in football, you're trying to keep yourself healthy. But, you know, you lose a game, you lose a game. Okay, you go back and you enjoy your mansion or whatever the case may be. They traded all this draft capital to get him. I'm sorry. He has to win. And all these football purists like Steve Young who say, you know, he's such a great quarterback. Says, well, if he doesn't win big games, where does that leave him?
Well, Steve
leave him in the middle
that.
Tier.
Like Steve admitted, he can't win the argument because of the lack of success in the postseason. But the focus is on him. They traded away a quarterback that got them to the Super Bowl to get him. And if they get bounced in the first round at home, a lot's going to fall on his shoulders. So we'll see how he'll handle it. I believe that when they traded for him, it was the right thing to do. But you can't tell me that you were overly impressed in the regular season by the Rams as a whole. They kind of left me wanting a bit.
Now, they got to win this game. I mean, you know, Kyler Murray obviously wants to win, but I don't think they have the same amount of pressure as Matthew Stafford.
Oh, you're talking about
and
a
also Sean McVay. He decided to make this trade. Goff brought him to a Super Bowl. It's almost the same deal as in San Francisco. So he didn't think that Goff had enough to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
He thought that Matthew Stafford did. Now you got to go win one. Otherwise, you're not. That means that Goff accomplished more than you.
A lot falls on his shoulders tonight.
I think he's got to be feeling
it. Bad news. Don, you only have one thing working against you, and that's that I almost took the Cardinals. So that's the spot. Since I didn't, you might be all right.
Find out who Tannenbaum likes in this game.
The great, great Bill Hung.
I like that drop a lot.
So the Sun boxing. It's a boxing. I guess it's from England, I believe. Just tweets out Mike Tyson in advanced talks with Jake Paul about 36 million pound fight.
What?
After verbally agreeing deal despite 30-year age gap. Now, then Mike Tyson retweets and said, "This is new to me. I saw Jake in St. Bart's and he never mentioned it."
Holy crap.
What do you think, Petey?
I mean, honestly, I know this is probably will surprise some people because obviously, I don't want Mike to make a fool of himself and potentially lose to someone, which he could lose to. Because
you think he could really lose to Jake Paul?
Sure. Sure. Okay. I think Jake Paul's not a talented boxer, but he's clearly an athlete and he's very young and in shape.
And he's big, too.
Mike is doing copious amounts of weed. And is in his 50s, okay? That being said, though, 36 million pounds, what, that's like a $50 million fight or something?
I'm not sure. I was wondering that. You continue to talk. I'll figure it out. I'll put it on the Google.
How much is 36 million pounds in U.S. dollars? 49 million.
Wow.
Very good, Peter.
So if Tyson gets 25 million, you wouldn't embarrass yourself for 25 million?
I'm saying. No. So if it's a $50 million fight, I got to tell you, as much as I love Mike and I don't want to see him, you know, ruin his quote unquote legacy in whatever way, I think you take it. I think you get the money. I'm sorry. It's one. Michael, you've always said this. If you were Tyson, he's lived a life where he doesn't have that much mileage on his brain as far as like the amount of beatings he's taken. And by the way, Jake Paul's not going to be the one who hurts him.
He's a very scared man.
Why would you not take the money?
Yeah, you'd be crazy not to. And again, I think it would be an exhibition. There's no way that they would legally license Mike Tyson, so it wouldn't go against his record.
And so what are they going to
say? Such a gentleman.
So what are they going to say? Oh, you know, Mike Tyson was really great, but then when he was a stoner in his 50s, he lost a fight against some YouTuber. Who cares?
Hey, listen to my Mike Tyson podcast.
But I'll tell you what, he's in good shape.
He is in good shape. He didn't look bad against Evander Holyfield, but here's the thing. Or Roy Jones Jr., I should say. But here's the thing. If Mike couldn't get out an old-ass Roy Jones Jr. out of there, I don't know that he's... Now,
but do you think that Jake Paul has ever been hit by somebody like Mike Tyson?
No. And Roy Jones has come a lot closer to that than certainly right. than Jake Paul, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess you can always factor in that Roy Jones, chin-wise, is just going to be stronger, and maybe Mike just catches Jake Paul. And also, the idea that, like, how would Jake Paul not be terrified going into that fight?
And I got to tell you what, I assume a lot of people don't like Jake Paul. This guy has really carved out quite a niche for himself. The guy's making unbelievable amounts of money on his own, like, boxing show. And he's getting people to take it.
I know.
And as you said, he's beating people up, and he's making a lot of money. What a niche.
I know. And, like, the first fight he had with Woodley wasn't great, wasn't that impressive, wasn't that exciting. The next one, Woodley comes in replacing an opponent, and Jake Paul just absolutely laid him out.
Yep. Face first.
Spectacular-looking knockout. Like, at some point here, if this guy keeps winning, even if they're against these sort of crossover fighters, people are going to start taking him seriously as a boxer. It's getting close.
And for them to be throwing around these numbers, Peter, somebody's watching. Somebody's paying for the pay-per-view.
I would love to see the actual numbers.
Are you watching?
I want to know the number of eyeballs he's gotten on the last few fights.
Must be curious. Something that they can offer that.
Yeah.
Now, Tyson's saying it's not true, but...
Get your bag.
We'll see. ENN's coming up. And, you know, we thought we'd lead into ENN with an ENN-ish story.
Well done.
But Peter's got some great stuff.
Oh.
He's been telling me about it during the breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Great
and by
stuff.
The way, because we're on radio only, I will be doing tonight's ENN fully in the nude.
Again, I didn't want to say that, but I am partially disrobed as well.
And wow. I'm not happy with Michael.
You're unhappy with me?
Yes.
Why?
It could be an ENN story.
Really?
Interesting.
Okay. Disgusted.
Disgusted.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he wronged me today.
I wronged him. Oh, I can't wait. This is an ENN story.
Wow.
We're until 7. Stick around. You never know what Don's going to say because he's out of his mind. 1-800-919-3776. ENN's coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.